your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
There's Wilson trying to steal home. He slides across. He is safe. The Red Raiders win it on a walk-off steal of home. Kurt Wilson took off from third. Nixon never saw it.
Wow.
Never threw the ball to the plate. The Red Raiders win it 5-4 as Kurt Wilson wins it on the steal of home. What a way to end this game. It is a great day to be a Red Raider.
6:32 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Just trying to, which I'm fully appreciative of, recreate some mojo from a couple of weeks ago. We had some nice highlights before the West Virginia series. Didn't work last week, but that was a road series at Kansas. And perhaps got the right mojo flowing this week for the Red Raiders against the Oklahoma Sooners. You guys have had some wild walk-off kind of calls. I mean, it wasn't a walk-off the other night, but I mean, it was the end of game with the pickoff against Rio Grande Valley. You got to go to a lot of games probably to see something like that happen.
Yeah, and technically what we call the walk-off pickoff in the postseason of 2016 is not a walk-off either. Because a walk-off, for it to be a walk-off, the defense doesn't get three outs.
Uh-huh, right.
So you can't walk a team off defensively.
Yeah.
You just get the end the game and you
right.
win.
Sure. It sounds better that way.
Yeah, it's just different.
Yeah. It just sounds better.
So neither one of those are technically walk-offs.
Yeah, but end the game, right?
Yeah, it was a crazy way to end a game, yes.
Yeah, end the game.
Yeah.
So, you're going to think this is just crazy. It's not crazy thinking. You're going to go, really? You're that? So, I'm kind of rooting for the Knicks to make a big, deep run in the NBA playoffs. I know nothing about their team, but they knocked out Philadelphia last night and won their series 4-2, so they advanced to the Eastern Conference semis. They got a long ways to go. But, man, I think that could be really, really good for the NBA if the Knickerbockers did something. Just, one, because it's the number one city in America in terms of population, or at least it's right up there. And, two, I mean, the Knicks haven't won a championship since, like, 1970. And, the city of New York hasn't won a championship in football or basketball since that time. Now they have with the Yankees, obviously. But anyway, do you have any warm feelings about the Knickerbockers, Jamie?
I don't. I don't have any negative feeling towards the Knickerbockers either.
Mm-hmm.
I think the league, it feels like it's said, when was the last time they won the championship?
The Knicks, 1970.
Yeah, and it feels like the league's still going strong.
That's fair.
Okay. I don't think the league needs the Knicks to win.
Okay.
I don't think, I think it'll be all right. Okay.
Okay. I don't know, just, I think we all as sports fans have it, unless it's just your bitter rival and the school or a team that you just hate.
I mean, there was a time where the Knicks were my favorite team's bitter rival.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care about the league anymore.
No, I understand that. I really don't either. It's just, like I said, I mean, I like a nice story,
Well, it would have been a better story if the Mavs didn't let Jalen Brunson go and let him turn into a superstar with the Knicks. I mean, obviously it would have been a difficult way to figure everything out with mm-hmm. with what you have now and your two fantastic guards for the Mavs, but I mean, still, Brunson's spectacular.
The last Knick championship was 1973. So they won in 1970, but they also won in 1973. So at any rate,
it seems like the league has flourished since then.
You're right. You're right about that.
I mean, you can make the argument back then you had some games that were delayed, like tape delayed for watching on TV, and
well, that
now
was,
they're all at least live.
Yeah, that was more late 70s, early 80s.
Would have been after that change happened, way after the Knicks won their last championship in 73.
Yeah, that's fair.
So here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ratings for the NBA, I mean, obviously in the Jordan era and you know, even beyond, have been really good, but they have really gone in the wrong direction since around COVID, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time that I feel like, you know, my college years, whatever, in the late 90s or whatever, early 90s, late 90s, in that time where it felt like every common sports fan, you know, you had an NBA team, you had an NFL team, you had a Major League Baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it feels like people my age and older have just completely bailed on the NBA. Okay?
Kind of feels that way, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't even know that you have to be my age. I mean, you got young guys like Clint and Choice are completely...
They've bailed on it, too.
They've bailed on it, too. And
yeah.
Those guys are 10 and 15 years younger than myself. So,
and they're were fervent NBA fans at one point.
And so was I. I mean, we all know I have a tattoo on my ankle.
Right.
Okay. That much of an NBA fan. And have just completely given up on the league. Do you think at some point that's going to turn? I mean, I think the cast of characters now is what pushed people away.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, at some point, those cast of characters will be done playing basketball. Will it ever turn back to it being as popular as it was with the common fan?
Man. I'd like to think so.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would like to think so.
I don't think it's a bad brand of basketball. It's different than college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain players today that I enjoy. It's just their style. I love watching Luka. He's a blast to watch. But I don't know. There's just so much there that I can't get behind.
And Patrick Beverley didn't help things out any last night. He apparently threw the basketball at a fan a couple of times. And then in his post game, he wouldn't talk to a female reporter because she hadn't, quote, signed up for a subscription to what he called his pod. Are you a subscriber of my pod? She said no, and he didn't want to talk to her.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I have time for this day in sports history. Today is May the 3rd, 2024.
You're going to start in 1936 with New York Yankee Joe DiMaggio making his Major League debut.
He'd have more than a cup of coffee in the major leagues.
Right. He also get more than just the average start. Got his first three hits of his career in game one.
You didn't really appreciate that, did you? That was my kind of an attempt at a little bit of a dab joke there.
It's just like the, Hank Aaron hit his first home run. He'd have a few more. Yeah, it's empty. I know what you're doing. But, three hits on your opening day.
That's pretty good.
I mean, none of them went over the wall like Josh Young did, but hey. Not everybody can be perfect. 1977 NFL draft. Ricky Bell, USC first pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Boy, was that a bust.
1979 Major League Baseball's Cleveland Indian Bobby Bonds hits his 300th home run. He is the second player ever to have 300 home runs and 300 stolen bases. 1980 Giants first baseman Willie McCovey hits his 521st and final home run. 1986, New York Yankees Don Mattingly is sixth person ever to hit three sacrifice flies in a single game.
Wow.
Has our boy
Joey Gallo?
Joey Gallo hit 6 in his career yet?
I would guess no.
Mind-boggling to me. 2015. Senior Cameron Smith threw his second complete game of the season, and sophomore Stephen Smith hit his first career grand slam, leading the number 21 Red Raiders to a 9-1 victory over Texas.
What year?
2015.
Year of extreme disappointment.
2018, Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan becomes the NFL's first $30 million per season player after agreeing to a $150 million contract extension.
You would be hard-pressed to guess that it was Matt Ryan.
Yes.
To be the first $30 million guy.
Happy National Chocolate Custard Day and Happy National Raspberry Popover Day.
I'm going to pass on both. I'll give Jamie my raspberry popover.
What's a popover?
It's a light, airy, not confection, pastry.
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah. Give me his. I'll take yours too, Jeff.
I'm a fat guy. I'll take them both. happy birthday to Frankie Valli, who's 90 today. Christina Hendricks is 49. Tyron Lue is 47. And Ryan Dempster is 47. And on this day, 1980.
What's Ryan Dempster most well known for? You guys?
I mean, pitching for the Cubs. That's immediately what jumps out to me.
No, there's something about him.
Also being a complete crazy person, if I remember correctly.
Like, I don't remember that. I just remember in the game that he tried to throw at A-Rod. He missed 2 times. Couldn't hit him. That's what I remember him for. Okay. Yeah, he pitched for the Rangers, too.
1980, 13-year-old Carrie Leitner of Fair Oaks, California, is walking along a quiet road on her way home from church carnival when a car swerves out of control, striking and killing her. Carrie's tragic death compelled her mother, Cindy Leitner, to fund the organization Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which would grow into one of the country's most influential nonprofit organizations. And that is this day in sports history.
All right. Time for your local lucky winning word of the day. This comes to you from the Home Zone, making your house a home, and Double T 97.3. We're giving away money. All you have to do is go to DoubleT973.com and enter this local winning word. The more times you do it, the more chimes that you have a chance to win. I mean, more days you participate. It's not like you can go in there and put this in 52 million times, okay? It's a local contest, not a national deal, so the money goes to folks that live right here amongst us, all right? We'll give away a final cash giveaway of $2,500 at Two Docks on Thursday, June the 20th. Today's lucky local winning word at 6:50 this morning is Gophers. Gophers, as in Minnesota Gophers. Not the Golden Gophers, just Gophers. Okay? G-O-P-H-E-R-S, Gophers. Okay. And that is your lucky local winning word for this morning here at 6:50 from Double T 97.3 in the Home Zone, making your house a home. We have this question from the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Syntex Hank. He asks, did I see that the Lady Raiders lost a player to the portal? Yes. It appears that JoJo Nwori is going to go elsewhere. She never played a minute for the Lady Raiders. Was highly touted as, at the time, when she came here, the top junior college recruit. But before her first season, they discovered she had blood clots in her legs and I think elsewhere, and shut her down and got that under control because obviously that's a life-threatening situation. And then last year, gosh, I just remember having this conversation with Coach Garlick and her first availability right before the start of the very first practice, and asked her about JoJo and how she's doing, and spoke glowingly, really excited, really happy, really playing well. And then before that day was out, she had blown out her knee And
stop asking questions, Chuck.
Right. It's my fault. And so now she has decided to move on and go elsewhere.
Do we have any idea why?
I think, no, I don't have any. This is, you want my speculation?
Yeah, guess, whatever.
My guess is that you brought in a gal that's 6'6", that's going to play a lot for you, you know, with and then you have...
you need more than one post.
I understand that. And then you have a Chol Magot who's going to hopefully be a contributor. She's 6'7". And then the other thing is I just wonder if she made a self-assessment and said, this is not a place where I'm going to have a lot of playing time and potentially a lot of success at the Big 12 level.
I mean, wasn't she the number one junior college player in the country?
She was when she came here. I just think this is, and I just wonder.
She didn't think she was going to get any minutes?
I don't know. Your
depth in the post is so good. Well, that the number one junior college player in the country couldn't play here, couldn't find any minutes.
Well, she hadn't seen the court because she's been hurt.
Well,
she's been,
I understand that, but didn't forget how to play.
The other thing that I wonder about her knee. Is what's the status of her knee, and if she's going to need another semester to rehab that? Because
yeah, I wonder if Tech told her that she wasn't going to be ready, you know, because she's not healthy enough or whatever. Yeah, I would be scared still of that first situation, with the blood clots and all that good stuff. Yeah, that's a scary deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I wish her the best. I hate it just because I felt like she was, I mean, highly touted, a really talented player that could move and was athletic and do all the things. And I mean, no offense to the big that you added, but I don't think this is a game changer.
It's not a savior,
a big where you felt like Nwori would be a really, really good player.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, the other thing is the last time, which was March, so it's been, you know, a couple of months since I've seen her, that she was still not really running very much on that knee, if at all. I mean, it looked like it was still tender.
Yeah.
And there was a game here where a player ran into her, not one of our, like she was just on the bench and she got dinged up on the bench from just a player running into the kind of the bench on the sideline.
Hate it for Tech, because you know that, you know, when they got her, they thought she was going to be a great player.
Yes, yes, man. Yes. All those things, and it didn't work out, but it's, like I said, it's unfortunate.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
The 0-1 pitch with two outs gone, grounded towards second base. Burleson's got it, throws to first, guns up, Cougars down. The Red Raiders are Omaha bound. The first College World Series in program history. A dog pile beyond the pitcher's mound. The pitchers are running in from the bullpen. Ryan Mosley and Corey Taylor. Look out below. Here they come jumping on top of the pile. The fans going nuts here at the Rip. And Texas Tech in sheer jubilation. They're headed to Omaha for the College World Series.
Another terrific pitching performance by the Red Raiders. Who would have ever guessed it, Brian? You score two runs on the weekend and you win both games. Texas Tech with back-to-back 1-0 victories. The Red Raider pitching staff has been absolutely phenomenal in this postseason as they carry their ball club into the College World Series for the first time in school history.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that.
I'm listening to Brian, Jeff playing that highlight, I'm thinking to myself, I have all the respect in the world for Brian or Jeff or whatever who in that situation can keep their wits about them. And I was going to say to you, Chuck, in my mind, I was going to say to you, yeah, notice that you don't hear me talking.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm shocked. I don't remember how long it's been since I've heard that highlight. I'm shocked that I was speaking. Yeah, because I mean, it's not like a positive thing to say about myself. I'm a fan in the booth, okay?
Right, sure.
You guys know that, okay? And when the big moments hit that are awesome, okay? I mean, I get a little bit choked up. I get emotional about it, whatever. I'm quiet because I'm so incredibly excited and I'm shocked that I was speaking. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
10 years.
Gosh, that's crazy. That's been 10 years when you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think back to that moment and think, fast forward 10 years later, would you have thought that there would have been a little bit more, or is it more than what you thought you would have in terms of the three additional trips to the College Baseball World Series? Because it's obviously very impressive.
I would have never guessed that you would have gone back three times.
Yeah.
I hated ever getting the feeling of, well, next time I'm going to do this when I'm in Omaha,
mm-hmm.
okay? Or next time, you know, this. Because it just feels like those things are so hard to get. And I'm not trying to be critical here or whatever, but I don't think Texas Tech fans really kind of understood that concept of how incredibly difficult it is and how there's so much luck that needs to go your way,
mm-hmm.
mainly with health. And it just felt like, it feels like everybody around here is expected every year. Okay, we should do this every year. We should do this every year. We've done it 4 out of 6 years. Okay. And mm-hmm. It's just so incredibly difficult. And so now it's been since 2019. And you see people on the chat line that think Tim Tadlock and the whole staff should be fired. And they're not trying anymore. And they don't even try to bring in recruits and all the above. And I just think that's crazy talk. Because, again, if you get yourself to the point where you expect your team to have a chance at going to the College World Series every year, then you're a really good baseball program, okay? Mm-hmm. And some things got to break your way. There's no way around it. And that's not to say that it's all about bad luck, you know? Players have to perform, coaches have to make the right calls, and coaches have to recruit and all the above. And I'm not trying to say they've been perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but no, I wouldn't have guessed you would have gone three more times
mm-hmm.
in the history of me, you know, being a Red Raider fan. I would have just not expected it to be that much. And I would have told you, and at the same time, I would tell you in 2019, I didn't think it would be until 2024 or beyond before the Red Raiders made it back.
Yeah.
I just know it's really difficult.
Yeah, it is. It's like you said, you have to have some luck along the way. I mean,
you just got to stay healthy.
Yeah,
and that is what has killed this team. Key injuries in the pitching staff. I mean, it is just over the last. I mean, again, since 2019, even before that, there was some of that too. I mean, you made a run with Gingery injured at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2020 happens when it feels like you do have the staff and the depth and at that point the health and all the above.
Mm-hmm.
And you were off to a phenomenal start. And it felt like, okay, well, this is a team that's primed to go to Omaha and maybe do some damage. And then COVID hits. I mean, there's... Mm-hmm. Again, there's luck involved, and it's not to say that it's all luck by any stretch of the imagination, but, so to answer your question, no, I wouldn't have guessed you'd have gone three more times, and again, I would have, in 2019, not guessed that we'd sit here in 2024 and you wouldn't have been back.
Right, that's the other thing. On one hand, you're like, okay, 10 years ago, wouldn't have thought it had been three more.
Yeah, change the expectations.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what this program's done.
Yeah, absolutely, and then you kind of look back, and like you said, 5 years ago, and go, wow, wouldn't have expected it would have taken that long to get to even still be in this spot where you're
right.
Because I mean, let's be honest. If they made it this year, I mean, your back's against the wall making the tournament right now.
Yeah. And I do think factoring into it is the landscape of college baseball. It has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that you as a program, as a university, as an athletic department, whatever, have to make sure you're changing. In the same realm that I don't want to change, Chuck, this baseball program has to. Or you're going to be playing from behind, right? And the baseball program and the athletic department and the donors, all the above are factoring into that. I think Tim Tadlock has not wanted to be a guy that's been all about the transfer portal. Okay, let's recruit guys. Let's coach them up. Let's help develop them. Mm-hmm. All the above. And we've not been a school that's, hey, we gotta bring guys in here and we gotta offer them money to play and do all those things. And the opponents that you're facing are doing a lot of those things. You look at a Kansas pitching staff last weekend that's loaded with guys that came in through the portal, and it's veteran in their bullpen, okay, in their starting rotation, whatever. Especially on the mound, I think you can't be a lot. I don't think you can have a lot of young guys.
Now, these aren't guys from Coffeeville coming in.
And so, well, I have the approach as a fan, like, I want us to recruit high school kids in every sport that we have,
right.
Okay? And I want them to be here for 4 years or 3 years, whatever, okay? And I want to grow old with these guys. You can't do it.
It's just not a realistic world.
That's not the world we live in.
Yeah.
And I think Texas Tech baseball has done some of that. I think they're going to have to do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the supporters of Texas Tech baseball are going to have to be there just like they have been for basketball and football with the financial support to help bring in players.
Yeah.
That's how it is. Or you're going to be consistently this team that's, hey, we're pretty good, but we can't really compete with the top. Because, I mean, with the money that's being spent in the SEC, I mean, the money that was spent this offseason by TCU's baseball program, which guarantees it doesn't always turn into wins and losses
sure.
and championships,
mm-hmm.
okay? But the amount of money that's being spent by those programs is massive.
But over the test of time, that will win out.
You're absolutely right.
You know, I mean,
that's why the Yankees have more championships than most.
It's an anomaly.
Because not every year the highest payroll wins, yeah. but more times than not.
Yeah, this isn't maybe an anomaly for TCU. So, I had a crazy question I want to ask you, but I'll get to it. I'll save it. It's evergreen. It's not mission critical right now. No, because when I ask you this question, you're going to go, oh my God. 7:24 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Your thoughts, your comments in the Yates Flooring Center channel. And the other thing is, all these other teams, as you've had success, they've seen what you've had, and they're like, well, we want some of that too. And so they've put more of an emphasis on their programs as well. So people have gotten better around you as well.
This is the Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Jamie's question of the day on Double T 97.3 is brought to you by Kinetico of West Texas.
Okay, so Jeff has got me all excited and having fun with highlights of different greatness of Tech sporting events.
Mission accomplished.
So I hope everybody feels the same way. So yes. We're going to stick with that. And we're just going to go with the 2023-2024 school year. I know it's not done.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not done.
Mm.
Okay. But up to this point,
yeah,
I want you to tell me your highlight moment. So it can be the end of a game. It could just be the end of a game. We won that game, so that was my highlight moment. Or it can be one singular play. Has been the highlight moment of the 2023-2024 athletic season. And there's an easy answer of you won a national championship.
Sure, but I was thinking about...
Let's take that one out of the picture, because all of us as Red Raider fans know winning a national championship trumps anything.
Everything, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And while we love Wes Kittley and everything that the track and field department does, it doesn't mean as much as other things going on. We don't have a highlight of them winning it.
Or we weren't there, right?
It's also, I think this is what gives you the large amount of respect for track is like leading up to it, or like, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
That's how good that track program is.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Right.
It would have been a surprise if they didn't. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's exactly right. Okay. Man, sometimes I have a hard time with this because just trying to remember.
Trying to remember
which games I went to, and because I'm trying to think of a game that I went to. I have a game for.
It doesn't have to be one that you went to.
No, I know, but I mean, I like it kind of have an idea of what. Where it kind of, you know, what kind of. So I'm going to give you one for football. For me, the one for football, because I thought it was an electric atmosphere. It was a fun post game at the Overton afterwards and the Coors Light post game show. It was fun in the stands that night. I'm going to say the Tennessee TCU game for football. That to me was a highlight moment for the football game, for the football team. Was the TCU game. And I think for basketball, it's hard. I didn't go to as many games because it seemed like whenever the men were playing at home, the women were playing on the road, which is kind of a coinky dink, right? No coinky dink there. That can't have the same team playing in the same arena at the same time. Can't have them, hey, boys on one end, girls on the other end. Although that'd be kind of fun sometime. Half court games.
Are you wanting us to respond, or are you just talking out loud over there?
I'm just talking out loud. Okay. Just talking out loud. I'm going to say the TCU game for me. Football.
This feels like kind of in the same vein as the track and field national championship, but the run that soccer went on to get to the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament, that was an awful lot of fun to be a side viewer for that. You know, like that was something we were looking for every single week through the regular season. I mean, they went 8-0 in conference. Well, 8-0-3, but undefeated in conference play. And you were hosting the first two rounds of the tournament, which you'd never done before. And, you know, we were out there that Friday night. This is after the World Series. And Josh Young is walking around throwing a football with some kids who saw him and just happy to do that. Like, all of that for that soccer run was just fun. And I know we don't carry those games, but it was just a fun thing to sit back and watch, and the success, and know where that program's been at the last couple of years, where it's been some disappointing seasons, and then have that kind of year was really cool.
I think that's a great answer, Jeff, because it wasn't just the postseason, but it was like really kind of the season as a whole was a lot of fun. The one game against Texas where you won it pretty much at the buzzer there that to me, like that of the single highlight of 23-24, that's got to be it, right? You beat a rival at the buzzer in soccer. I mean, that's got to be the best highlight, one singular play.
Yeah.
Of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that's a really good answer, Jeff. I'm going to go with one that I would have never guessed before the season or 5 years ago you would have ever thought that this would have been a highlight win. But my highlight win is the football victory in Lawrence this year. Didn't expect you to win the game. Felt like you were in a spot down the stretch there that you were not going to make a bowl game, especially after you lost to BYU. You came back to win it against TCU at home, but, you know, the team had not been good on the road at all, and you just found a way. I mean, 16 points to win a game is just shocking, and, you know, that's a game your defense definitely won for you. But Kansas was a ranked team. You had been bad on the road. You definitely needed this one if you were going to, you know, get into the postseason, get to a bowl game. And I think my Dabber was really down going into that game. And to beat, and again, the Jayhawks are not like this football history with of this great tradition of winning, but they were better than you at that point. And that to me completely just, hey, we can make a bowl game again. And that was massive. So that was the game where I expected you to lose and you didn't, that I was really, really excited about.
Okay. We get this from Paul. He says the possum game took my kids and brother. Sugar on top was where the two B-1 bombers fly over. Yeah.
That was a TCU game, correct? The possum game?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because it was a Thursday night.
Thursday night, yeah. This my highlight of the year for this person was beating the Kansas Jayhawks in basketball by 28 points. That was a big night.
Yeah.
That was a big night. Last second soccer victory over UT. Somebody else.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Warren's not held on. He'll be running on contact. There he goes. That ball strummed right field, going back. Kerstad, it is off the top of the wall. Here comes Cam Warren. He's going to score. Masters is headed for third. The throw is cut off. The relay's not in time. It's a triple for Cody Masters, and the Red Raiders lead it 5-4.
How about a little two-out magic here in the bottom of the eighth?
Getting your sports day started the right way. The Morning Drive on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com.
8:02 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Good morning with Jamie Lent, Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Our 3 of 3 this morning on this fantastic Friday. Okay. We hope it is a fantastic Friday and a stupendous Saturday and a super Sunday. Okay.
Super Sunday.
How about that? Sweep Sunday. Hope it's a sweep Sunday. We don't get too far ahead of ourselves, do we? But I always kind of have my feet on the other side of the cliff a little bit. You know, I'd be one of those people that if I was doing a selfie on a cliff, I'd fall.
Mm.
We see that it's way too often, it seems like.
That highlight, Jeff, I mean, that's one of my top five ever for Red Raider baseball.
Mm.
Two guys involved that I think extremely highly of, two great, great representatives of this university and two great Red Raiders who are awesome dudes in Masters and Warren. It's funny. Everybody remembers that highlight for Cam. And it's always, you know, Cam scoring from first, right? Well, I mean, it was a triple. It's kind of hard not to score for first on a triple. But it was just, Cam getting after it and rumbling around and hustling like we've never seen him before. And it's just such a big hit from Cody, who had plenty of big hits in his Red Raider career. But that's probably the biggest one. And if you remember in that game, that's against Arkansas. And Easton Morrell homered in that game to tie it a few innings earlier. And Morrell and Bryce Bonin had transferred from Arkansas that year to the Red Raiders. And I do not know the story of why they transferred from Arkansas. I have no clue what the story is. I don't know if my sense is that they were both, either their scholarships were cut or they were told, we don't want you around. Okay. We've got other guys that are better. And Bryce turned out to be an awesome pitcher for the Red Raiders. And Easton turned out to be an awesome player for the Red Raiders. Great leader. Man, I wish we had his leadership on this team. Okay. Easton, great dude as well. But I remember being in the elevator going up to our rooms after the game. And Easton, kind of a quieter guy, you know, was a humble guy, you know, was not super talkative about his home run. But Bryce Bonin was fired up. I mean, he was so happy to stick it to the Hogs. He was so excited about it. And he was not afraid to talk about it. So it was cool to know that those two had come from Arkansas. The Red Raiders had just beaten them in Omaha. And you'd gotten behind early in that game and came back and won. And that highlight was the big one. But Bonin's home run, or excuse me, Morrell's home run and Bonin's reaction to it later that day was something that will always stick in my mind. So clearly there was some animosity, at least from Bryce, towards Arkansas.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It was fired up.
He was fired up. There was yelling and screaming going on in that elevator. It was just all us Red Raiders, but he was telling everybody how excited he was.
I still got a little shoe black underneath his eyes or whatever.
Yeah, you know? He didn't bitch in the game. He was excited to stick it to the Hawks. So yeah. It's good.
Yeah. Somebody says, is Cam allowed the triple by unhitching his wagon and running hard?
I mean, there's just so many again, it's hard to, for any of you who have ever met Cam Warren, it is hard to not like that guy.
Oh, no yeah. question. I mean, he is as likable a person as there is.
Whether you are the highest of highest on the pedestal of life or the lowest of the lowest, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a dude. And Cody Masters, a guy who's working here in town now, and he's great with the youth of our community and what he does with his faith and sharing that with others. And, I mean, those two guys, again, just great leaders. Great leaders, great people, the kind of guys you want in your program and the kind of guys you want representing your university. And there's been plenty of them over the years in all sports here at Texas Tech, but those are two guys that really stick out to me.
8:07 this morning here on the morning drive. So dumb it down for us. Not too dumb, okay, but dumb it down for us. Because I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to tell me the obvious one, but I don't want the obvious one. But what's something that they really, really, really need to do this weekend that would help them win the series? Let's just talk about winning the series.
I'm laughing at the chat line. Somebody asked if Cam lived in town, and somebody said yes under the baseball stadium. I just think it was my key to the game on Tuesday night, and I'm going to stick with it again with you right here, right now. It felt like you lost this badly over the weekend against Kansas, and it's the battle of free passes. I mean, you just put so much extra pressure on yourself when you're giving up the free passes, okay? And you don't put any pressure on them when you're not taking walks, working counts, forcing pitch counts to rise, getting into a bullpen, all of those things. There are too many 1-2 pitch at-bats from this team. Too many, okay? I know you want to mix things up, and if you see a pitcher that's he's trying to get a hit every time, he's always starting with the first pitch fastball, okay? But there's guys on the team that, I mean, it feels like they'll go 1-for-4 or 1-for-5, and they'll see 8 pitches and 5 at-bats, okay? It's just not conducive to – I mean, you're giving yourself no chance for free passes. You're not running up pitch counts. You're not putting extra stress on pitchers. All the above, okay? And so I say win the battle of free passes, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you do that, I think you have a good chance to win this series.
Okay.
Right. But Kansas dominated you in that stat, 22-8 last weekend. You got to do a much better job than that.
Okay. 8:09 this morning here on the morning drive. I need to get to Jeff's story that's going to make him happy. My story that's going to make Jeff happy with regard to Dak Prescott. It's just speculation. It's going to be wishful thinking for you. Okay? You're going to say from your lips to God's ears.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.